Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
LeBron and Luka sent packing. Ousted in the first round. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to that and the implications and the disappointment, considering how Luka's trade to the Lakers, Pearl, was the story of the season. It is the story of the season, yeah. Still, even with them losing.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that story was a bit also long-term. Like, oh, all of a sudden the Lakers have a future after LeBron. To me, it wasn't everyone piling on saying, you have to win this year. So, yes, it's a disappointment for sure, but I don't think they were the favorite. So it's not like a shock that they lost.
Yeah, we're asking you today, do you think they'll ever win together?
It's going to be not a lot of time.
You can go to at Maggie and Pearl, and you can vote on X. I know I kind of thought, oh, LeBron, he looks like he could play forever. Yeah. Not last night.
Well, Luka might win with LeBron James. It's just going to be the other LeBron James.
Oh, Bronny.
Yeah. I think he has a better chance of winning one with Bronny than LeBron, because I got to think, LeBron said after the game that he is going to look at the future. It sounded like he's going to come back, but he can't. What do you think, one more year, Mag, if you had to forecast?
It's as long as he wants it to be, probably, but as far as high level, unless they start really load managing during the regular season and saving him for the playoffs, which I think they should do immediately, probably only like another year or two.
Yeah, I mean, of course,
which is amazing, by the way.
He could play as long as he wants, but I think that he doesn't want to not be one of the best players. So the question is, when is that going to happen?
Yeah, right. 888-710-4ISN. So for all the Lakers fans, if you're, you know, in that post-mortem today, let us know what you think went wrong and how do they fix it. Obviously, they need a center. And then for the Laker haters, well, congrats to you. I think Nico Harrison somewhere sips a scotch, no?
Yeah, that was a big win for Nico. Big win.
Well, it's like a quarter win. It's not a big win. He's still pulled off one of the most boneheaded moves in the history of the NBA.
If you're Nico Harrison, you'll take any victory you can get, Maggie. At this point, anything positive is good. He's got three more years on his deal, too. He's going to get paid throughout that contract. He's fine.
Of course, he's the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, who traded away Luka Doncic. Meanwhile, press conference yesterday, pretty awkward. It was Jeff Olbrich, who is the defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, Pearl, having to answer questions for his son, Jax Olbrich, who was the one who pranked Shedeur Sanders on draft night. It was all caught on film. Here's Jeff Olbrich saying he does feel regret for this prank.
Tremendous amount of regret for what my son did and for what I allowed and being neglectful in that way. But it's another part of the regret is there's so many amazing people in this building that did an amazing job in this draft process, and then to pull it off on draft weekend and do as well as they did, it's hard because those people should be celebrated in these moments, and they probably weren't as much as they should have been.
Well, maybe not the people who sent a first rounder to the Rams, but
yeah,
sure.
I was going to say, there were two draft crimes that happened. One, giving out the number. Two, giving out the number 27 pick for next year. It's still, we didn't have time because of Shedeur to unpack that. It was insane. But
yeah,
that's not what we're talking about here.
I don't know if I'd go do a victory laps here if I was the Falcons, but that's fine. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe their gamble will work. More from Olbrich. So just to update this story, obviously, so Jeff Olbrich's son was the one who pranked Shedeur, as I just mentioned, but they were fined. So the Falcons were fined $250,000, and Jeff Olbrich, the defensive coordinator, was fined $100,000. He said he did reach out to the Sanders family.
Obviously not happy and shocked. And so I made the Falcons aware of the situation, and then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. The Sanders family, Shadur and Coach Sanders, were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this.
Man, imagine you're Jeff Ulbrich, so that he just is coming off of a stint with the Jets that was an abject failure, where he gets tabbed to replace Robert Saleh as the head coach, and they got so much worse.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Like, the defense got worse. It was all bad. And then now you're the new guy. Like, you're the new guy at the Falcons. This is your first season as defensive coordinator, and your son pulls this bonehead thing. Two things for you. Mm-hmm. Number one, how big of a deal is this? Like, he's obviously very contrite here. This was very serious. People are really ticked off, not just at Jax Ulbrich, who pranked Shador, but all the pranking that's been going on. The prank calls seems like it's just out of control. Secondly, do you believe that you're a parent? I'm a parent. When someone says, I'm so shocked that my kid did this, are you ever really shocked, or do you know your kid well enough that you're like, deep down, I feel like he's a prank caller?
Oh, no. On the second one, I don't think anybody realizes what their kids are going to become like as teenagers. You remember the 8-year-old. You don't remember.
Okay.
When they turn 16 and what they're doing outside the house, I think that's hard to predict.
Yeah. Okay. My kid's still 5.5. So
yeah. My kids are 13 and 14, and I've been warned by other parents. You think you know what there's going on in their head? You have no idea. I generally think. But to the first point, is this story, this is getting ridiculous. As my friend Booger McFarland said, no one died. The tone in his press conference acted like this huge, huge tragedy. I mean, these are prank calls. This is an NFL where guys are suffering. You know, there's so many major issues with the NFL. To me, draft guys getting prank called is a one-off. I don't think this is ever going to happen again. They're going to address it. And people are acting like this was the scandal of a lifetime. I think it's, again, as usual, scandals. People are getting way too caught up in the moment. This is an overreach. And I think that fine was ridiculous.
Which fine? The Falcons or Ulbrich?
No, the Falcons, $250,000. That's nothing. That's a nickel to them. That means nothing. $100,000 to a coordinator? He's not a player. He doesn't have that kind of contract.
Well, he was a player back in the day. I don't know how much money he made back then.
Right, but I mean, it is a in terms of NFL terms, if you look at the percentage of his salary,
he makes $1.5 million.
It's one of the biggest fines in recent NFL history if you look at the percentage of the salary.
Sure.
It's crazy. And the fact that there were 10 of them, I mean, let's face it, the guy got unlucky for two reasons. One, because Shador happened to be filming at that moment. I know he was filming the whole thing. And two, because it was Shador Sanders. And it was the most famous draft fall, I think, now of all time. EJ said this after the draft. It might be the most important draft moment, the most famous draft moment ever. And he just got caught up in that. If it was the other guys who got, if he had called Abdul Carter, no big deal. BC went number 3, nobody cares. If he called Mason Graham, no big deal. It was, to me, people are looking for a scapegoat, and they found the Ulbrichs.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, so a couple things. I think it's not ridiculous that the parent gets fined. I guess he's got to take responsibility. This did not happen in the facility, right? This happened when the iPad or laptop or whatever that had the numbers was at their home. So you do have to take responsibility there. And I don't mind that someone has to like pay a price for this because it was a breach of data security, stuff like that. I don't understand why the Falcons got fined. What did they do?
Well, it was their iPad.
Okay, but it's at home. It just didn't happen in his office. Like, the Falcons were never drafting Shador Sanders. They have nothing to do with Shador Sanders. Why the Falcons get the shrapnel from this? I know it's a drop in the bucket for them. Like, $250,000 is not much. Like, they're not going to hurt for this. I'm talking about the principle of it. Like, the Falcons getting fined, I really don't understand. And as far as the pearl clutching about it, Listen, I do get it. I do get why people are upset about this, because there are these draft moments. Like, they should, you're right, at Perloff, there's not a lot that's pure about the NFL, and there's not that pure about college football either. But these are great moments where dreams are realized, and to have it be ruined, and I don't know how they do fix it. You think they can. Everyone wants to see the call. And everyone needs the numbers.
Yeah.
So I think there's always going to be someone out there who can ruin it.
Oh, that's interesting. So they have to really, really figure this out next year, because By the way, I was saying that the fine was ridiculous, but I do think it was very bad that these guys are getting pranked. Like they, this has to be a priority to fix it. And that's why I think they came down so hard on him. It reminds me a little bit of the Calvin Ridley suspension. Calvin Ridley did like three parlays and like they gave him a year.
Yeah.
They're like, they are sending a message.
You did not like that.
No, because that was a message. And they're saying, the NFL's like sending a message here. You better be tight with that data. So poor Jeff Ulbrich has to pay $100,000 so the NFL can send a message to all 32 teams. Do not let this happen. I think they have some sort of encrypted system next year.
Mm.
Like they're going to be buttoned up next year. They clearly were not this year.
EJ, you agree? How big of a scandal is this? Because Jeff Ulbrich he had to take it seriously, by the way. He couldn't stand up there and be like, guys, nobody died. Like he couldn't say what Booker McFarland said. He's got to take
Mike Gundy.
It very seriously. And it's his kid. So he's got to be totally disappointed that his kid would do this. And his kid filmed himself. It's a friend.
Yeah, he's part of the footage.
He's part of the footage. He didn't make the phone call, but he passed it off to a friend and they acted childish. How big of a scandal?
I mean, I just feel like to me, the Falcons got to be fined to Perloff's point. It's to send a message. You can't, this is a security breach. Like, I don't think this is small. Like, I think to me, like, if you can get a phone number for a guy and we're talking about, you know, whether it's their phones or someone else's phone, like, if you have their phone number, you could learn a lot of information about somebody. Like there's a lot of different applications. I don't want to dox anybody on here, but, you know, there's a lot of ways to find who people are. And sometimes the phone number is the first place to start. So if, you know, civilians are able to get people's phone numbers, that now puts all these players potentially at risk. So when we say, well, nobody died, nothing happened, it's like, well, not in this instance. We don't know what could have happened if those numbers got out more and more communication would have happened or they used this in a different way. So to me, like, I think it is important. And I do think there's like a optics level of like, I'll be honest, like young privileged kids like trying to like humiliate young athletes.
Oh, okay.
I think that looks crazy and I think it's disgusting. And I think that I think to minimize it, I think is.
So you think
I don't like that.
That there was okay. So it's and just to distill this down, it's like, you know, son of a coach.
Yeah.
Feeling entitled, feeling emboldened, feeling jealous, feeling all those things, whatever it may be, and then acting out on it.
It feels like this is their way to get back at the jocks that they couldn't be.
Yeah, like, but the only thing, Jack Ulbrich is actually a really standout football player, ironically.
Right, he's in D3, I guess, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be Shador, but he is playing.
Yeah, I just, again, like, because I saw the clip of someone calling, I think Mason Graham, and it's almost like identical clip with different kids.
Yep.
One kid, the other guy's wearing an Ole Miss shirt, this kid I think was wearing like an LSU or something. So it's like the same imagery, some guy from an SEC school who can never, you know, like hold, you know, Mason Graham's jock or Joe Sanders' jock is saying, this is my way to like get at them and ruin them. And I think that that's corny and lame. And I think that like, I think to minimize it, I think is bad because we minimize too much terrible stuff in society.
I know, but EJ, well, I mean, I think, I don't know if we do that, but I think the other part, though, is it's really...
See Twitter easily.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think people are outraged by a lot of this stuff, but I think the question about it is not to say there's nothing we can do to stop it, but it's hard to think, all right, you're going to wind up every snot-nose jackass, you know, like, it feels like you're fighting a war that almost can't be won. And the reason why I say that is because I don't think just have the teams having the number is the only way you prank call somebody. And the reason I say that is because at Michigan, there was the defensive coordinator that got fired and is now facing charges because he hacked into athletes' phones. It was women, and he was taking photos off their phones that were intimate because there are these databases that athletes, I think, are plugged into.
Colleges have for transfer portal and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think it's not the only way to get a phone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys have followed college sports longer than I have, obviously. Like, how many football players or basketball players have talked about how week of a game, somehow their number got out and they got a zillion calls? I remember DeMarcus Cousins played a game in Mississippi State. He had like 5,000 calls.
Oh, J.J. Redick. He said back in the day.
Yeah,
let's
talk about that. So this is not necessarily even new. I just think that this is a certain level that I think veers potentially dangerous because, again, you're talking about a security breach.
You wonder what's funny. I'm sorry, Pearl. People now do it and they have less shame about it because they're filming themselves. Like, they're doing it for the clout. With, yeah. Like, the people who called Mason Graham, obviously the guys who called Shador, they're filming themselves. It's like they're bank old-timey bank robbers. Like, you rob the bank and they're like, and tell them that Billy the Kid did it. You know, you're telling on yourself as opposed to trying to do it in a stealthy way.
I heard an interesting analogy. Sheil Kapadia, our buddy at The Ringer, said this is a perfect scandal for Roger Goodell. They can act like this is a serious issue with the NFL, so fans get caught up in the culture war and ignore like the real issues, which is head injuries and like adding an 18th game. It's like, oh, okay, let's give them this red meat, let them argue about this, we'll find this and pretend this is a big deal. When, meanwhile, he's trying to get through his 18th game, and this is very NFL-ish to... Yeah.
Look over really, here, look over here.
But just really come down strong on this. But there's about 100. I mean, look at some of the allegations of the draft prospects alone. Like, don't look at that. Look at this.
Right.
Look at the prank call. We're not going to talk about it. I mean, there are allegations against some players like that people decide. Ironically, the NFL Network talked about the Mike Green, the defensive end for Marshall, his allegations. ESPN didn't bring it up at all.
Yeah, so like, there's domestic violence.
There's a lot of character issues with the NFL, so you can always... I just think that NFL made an example here of this guy. And, for example, the second caller, Mason Graham, we have no idea if he is a rich kid. Like, we don't know anything about him. So I just think that, EJ, to say, like, the optics of the that this is a rich kid, like, the NFL can't make decisions based on that. They have to go on just sort of more of a simple fact.
But the NFL makes decisions on optics
out of 10 times. But that's what kind of I'm saying. Like, they really – that's why I don't think it's fair. This feels like an optics, feels like a PR move more than a fair – penalty to me.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are you somebody who was outraged by the prank calls and it really bothered you? Or are you somebody who's saying, all right, everybody, lighten up? I mean, to the credit to the Shador and the Sanders is, as you heard Jeff Ulbrich, they were very gracious in saying, and Shador even said it. He goes, listen, was it childish? Yeah, but people do childish things sometimes. They took the high road on it. Let's quickly go to Colton, who's in New Jersey, wants to go back to the Lakers to talk about how J.J. Redick did not help his team in the playoffs. What's up, Colton?
Hi, good morning, everybody.
How you
doing?
So
I also want to quick touch on the Ulbrich situation. Again, it is childish from his son. By the way, why is the defensive coordinator getting phone numbers? Isn't that a bigger story? Why he's never making the phone call? It's the owner.
No, I think the
head coach, and it's the GM.
No, the coordinators talk to the guys. I heard that a lot. Like, oh, I'm going to put on your offensive.
Yeah, but the phone gets passed to them though. They don't make the phone call.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Like, after the fact, after these guys get drafted, sure they should get their number. Again, that's nitpicking, but I just don't understand why these guys are even getting the phone numbers. I think it should be to the three major people in the organization, but whatever. I'm going to go back
Colton,
to
they're not getting him next year, that's for sure.
Yeah, next year, I'm sure it's probably the GM, the owner, and the head coach who have the number.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what it should have been. But I got a gripe with J.J. Redick. I had early thoughts when the Lakers first hired him. Coming off TV, I'm like, what are they doing? This is a clown show. LeBron gets his podcast buddy. And then I bit my tongue because the Lakers actually played surprisingly well. They end up as a 3 seed. I'm like, holy cow. J.J. Redick actually might have been a great hire.
Oh,
and then
Colton,
I watched
them last night. One of the best defensive teams in the NBA, like from January to March or something. That looks like fool's gold. But yeah, go ahead. Good point.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, I'm watching them last night, and he goes out with the media member the night before and talking about how they're going to play small ball. And the thing is, Anthony Edwards was off last night. They couldn't hit a three to save their lives. And Rudy Gobert just dominated the glass, got them. I think he had over 10 offensive rebounds alone. How does J.J. Redick not get held to the fire from this game? This is an absolute joke. Again, are the Lakers going to win a title this year? I don't know. The big question, they tried getting Mark Williams at the deadline.
Yep.
They needed a center badly, but my goodness, how in the world does J.J. Redick get away with this? If he plays Jackson Hayes, they win last night, and it's not even a question.
Well, but he felt like he couldn't play Hayes in the series almost, period. Colton, solid call all the way around. J.J. Redick certainly deserves a lot of blame. I mean, you had Anthony Edwards go 0 for 11 from 3. The Timberwolves shot 7 for 47. You should not win a game when you are that off.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Would they have won with Jackson Dart?
Jackson Hayes.
Jackson Hayes. Or Jackson
you
Dart.
You trade back into the first round against Jackson Dart.
I'm not so sure because Jackson Hayes, in the brief minutes he did get, was not effective. By the way, I love this guy. Only if the Mark Williams trade had gone through. Like, Mark Williams is Wes Unseld or something. He's just getting so much hype. Meanwhile, his team won 18 games in Charlotte. So, anyway, I'm not sure that was the total answer, too. I think they need a lot of help. They need a couple pieces away to me.
Yeah. Is Miles Turner, he's a free agent
Ooh,
this year?
Nice.
Miles Turner is, I think, one of the, might be. I have no idea. Manny, can we hear some
JJ? Is he a max player, though?
I don't know. I have to go back and look. Yeah. But JJ Redick, on the Lakers, did just miss too many shots. That's what he thinks the issue was.
The offensive part of it tonight, in particular, was we missed wide open threes. We missed a couple shots at the rim. We got good looks.
Yeah, no, yeah, but is there also a part where the team looks so tired and so gassed, especially in the fourth quarter, Pearl, that of course they're missing shots because they had no one had their legs under them.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is J.J. Redick's fault for playing too much and also roster construction fault for not having enough talent.
No doubt. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. EJ, can we put this poll question up about the prank calls? I don't want to be so flip as to say, is this a big deal? Because anytime you get a data breach, we all know what this is like when all of a sudden people start texting your phones, like trying to fish and catfish and get your information. And it really stinks. It's awful. But as far as, you know, the grand scheme of things, like how bad is this? 888-710-4ISN.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get 1 line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
We lost Maggie. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff. We're talking about sometimes kids say things online, which is a very serious issue, but sometimes little kids don't know what they're doing. And my daughter had an incident a few years ago.
Yeah, this is not Jax Ulbrich who was prank calling Shador Sanders. This is how we got on this topic, but I don't know if you want to share what your daughter
did. No, I can't.
This is Mickey Loomis.
I can't share that thing.
But you know what? Suck.
Sometimes 5 or 6 year old kids make potty jokes. Yeah. I don't know. Is that the right word? And my daughter made a bad one, and parents were like, you better be careful about what your daughter is writing in the group chat.
Wait, and you were laughing and your wife was like very embarrassed? Or
yes. Yes. Very much.
That tracks.
And the thing is, this is my second daughter. There are a lot of first-time parents who think that everything is a giant thing.
Yeah.
First-time parent, and then for your second kid, like, folks, it's like the second kid can... basically,
Set the house on fire, and you're just
like,
well.
Go to the top of the building and dangle over the top. You're like, okay, just, come back for dinner. right. So anyway, they were first-time parents who overreacted. But
you got a phone call. That's funny.
Oh, I got multiple phone calls about what my daughter wrote. And my daughter is the nicest kid. I'm going to defend her on this one. And it's just kids don't know what they're doing. Anyway, but...
Jax Ulbrich, 21 years old, pranking Shador Sanders and filming. Well, his friend gave the number to a friend. The friend did it. Pretend to be Mickey Loomis.
I have a question about this, and we'll get into it. Do you think this scandal looks different in 10 years? I feel like this is one of... You know when you're in the heat of a scandal, it feels like this is all-consuming. Like, this is going to be a big story forever. I have a feeling in 8 years... this is not going to hold. Like, I don't think this one sticks as being as serious as it's being portrayed today. I think it's a little bit more, I know like a lot of people disagree with this. I think it's a little bit more on the trivial side and will not stand the test of time.
So can I give you my prediction for like the not too distant future in terms of all of this? I think that kids in 10 years or something are going to be so dumbfounded and appalled. You know, sometimes you look at your parents and you're like, how did you guys, who was smoking cigarettes or who thought it was, good to... I think we're going to look back in 10 years or 15 years, and they're going to be appalled at how much we put their information out on the internet. I think the kids are going to look back and say, why were you putting my photo out? We went through this thing with the internet and with social media at first where privacy just like was not a thought. And I think sometimes it still is not, and that's every person's, discretion of how much they want to put on the internet. I just think that's going to be one of the things when kids look back and your parents look very out of touch. I think security and keeping things private and, I know everyone wants to do it for clout. I think we're going to have a shift there, shift where kids are going to want to be more private about their online stuff. Maybe I'm wrong.
A slight shift on that. I think it is literally 180 degrees, the exact opposite. My daughter Googles herself and says, Dad, how come you don't put more pictures of me so I'm on here?
Okay, so we're not there yet.
What are you talking about? Kids are dying to get their picture out of the internet. They would say, multiply the number of pictures you... What kid does not want to... Kids are going to view the internet way differently than they do. They want their entire lives on there.
Yeah, but society, we go back and forth on stuff. It's
not
a
kids.
Pendulum. Like,
there's no back and forth with kids. They want everything out there. Their phone is like surgically implanted into their hand.
But more data breaches and more people and bad actors getting, and not just for a prank call. I'm talking about for everything.
That's what moms think. That kids don't think that.
Jay is in Nashville. Jay, what do you think about this prank call scandal?
I don't know what Booger McFarland was talking about, but it is like as a computer guy or whatever, as a computer science like student, it's a major thing because basically, they got like operating systems called like Kali Linux, and Kali Linux is for hackers. It's an operating system that has a whole bunch of software that you can hack somebody in many different ways.
Yeah.
And like there's stuff like Wireshark, but there's stuff like Metasploit as well. Like all I need is that phone number. I can build a packet, send that packet through via text because I got the kid's phone number because I hacked my own phone with Metasploit. Now I was looking at myself on camera. I was looking at everything.
Jay, you got weird hobbies, man.
No, I'm a student. I mean, this is like for class and stuff like that. And that ain't a hobby. And believe me, and the people that it is a hobby to, it'd be some dude in their Fruit of the Loom sitting in a mom's basement. Hacking his phone number, and then on top of that, he has really famous contacts and stuff like that. Not only all that, you have Google Wallet, you have Apple Wallet and stuff like that.
No, it gets serious.
It gets serious. Another thing you got to think about, what if somebody was calling, crank calling with a whole bunch of racial stuff, which would have sent the NFL back to the Colin Kaepernick days?
Right.
And then on top of that, that kid got word on the street. That kid got a code red on him as soon as he stepped out of the apartment. So it was like, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah, listen, we're not trying to downplay the how far this can go, all right? And you study this, and you're doing this for class. Jay, great to talk with you, as always. And you see the extreme of someone gets hacked, and all of a sudden they're looking at you in your house, and that is so scary. We're talking about the prank call of it. It didn't get racial. I mean, this one didn't. It didn't feel like it was.
But here, we're let just me kind say of taking this on its surface. Thing.
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, come on. When we look at the overall picture of where the country is, I mean, first of all, old people, number one, and then me, number two, or the risk of security. NFL draft prospects getting prank called is not what the Defense Department is looking at in terms of hacks. Like, there's a major hacking problem. Like, this, I don't think that this is the same thing as everybody. Like, I get all these notes from my bank saying there's a major issue.
Yeah.
And I heard there's a new thing where if you click on the link, you get the virus now.
Of course.
There's major, major security threats. I feel like connecting what happened to these 10 draft prospects is not exactly the same as the global security breach on computers we're having. I don't think it's same.
Well,
to me.
Maybe it's like slippery slope type of thing is what Jay's saying individuals.
Well, in 20 years, are we going to say, oh my God, you just can't protect your security? You know when this started? When Drew Rosenhaus got a prank call in the 2024-25 draft. Come on. This is a huge problem. This is different. It's just very different.
I wonder if maybe you and I take a little bit of a different approach to it, because I'm old enough to remember a TV show on Comedy Central called Crank Yankers. It was a whole show just based on pranking people.
Should I dump that?
No, that was the name of the show.
And what about the Jerky Boys? Anything ring a bell there,
have you ever heard of the Jerky Boys?
No.
Wow.
You'd find it funny.
I would.
I'm sure I would anyway.
This was like prank calls. I felt like almost went out of style because
cell phones, probably,
cell phones. Yeah. And everyone's name is identified of it. What's different about this generation is they want the clout of it. Like, they want to get caught in some ways, because you wouldn't film yourself if you didn't want to get caught or didn't care if you got
kind of like back in the day, Punk'd. Remember, you know, Punk'd,
yeah.
Manny, right?
Oh yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah. It's along that kind of lines, I think.
Yeah, they used to call people unknowing. Well, pranked used to prank celebrities. This would just be they would call like a secretary at a business and mess with her and then put it on TV.
Yeah, it was a little, and I guess it had a vibe like Impractical Jokers too. I think it's changed, but you're right. Like, as kids, I think we made prank calls. Like,
yeah,
is your refrigerator running?
Yeah,
we definitely made prank calls.
Catch it.
I never went with that line, but yeah.
Oh, you had better ones?
Probably just call and giggle and hang up.
I was too afraid to make a crank call. I was terrified.
I wasn't good at them. I laughed too soon.
Or the people would prank like the teacher.
Oh, yeah.
It took real stones to do that.
$100,000 fine for that one.
We used to just call like the boys that we liked, and like their mom would pick up and we'd giggle and hang up. We were 12. I wasn't 21.
You know, our kids do not do that. Now our kids exchange Instagram and DM each other, and none of this.
Bogish has headlines. Keep them coming, by the way. Your thoughts on this cell phone pranking scandal.
Most of you can go back to mocking Rudy Gobert tomorrow, but his game 5 in L.A. deserves a little respect today.
Here's Randle on the run, into the paint, out to Dante Wingright. He'll move to his left. He'll fire in a three. It's offline. Rudy got the rebound and slammed it home. A new postseason career high, 27 points, and a new postseason career high, 21 rebounds for the big man.
Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. Gobert finishing with 27 and 24 in this 103-96 closeout of the Lakers. Of note from that highlight, Gobert dunking off one of the 40 threes that Minnesota missed last night, and they still won on the road to complete the mini upset. Head coach Chris Finch on his polarizing center.
Rudy's a winner at the highest level.
Rudy,
you can not like who he is, how he does it, what he looks like, etc. I mean, when you have this guy on your team, you understand what a professional and a winner is.
Gobert had limited impact over the first four games of this series with the T-Wolves matching the Lakers' smaller lineup. But last night, Minnesota stayed big and the Lakers didn't have an answer. And now their season's over. The Rockets, though, stayed alive with a 131-116 home win over the Warriors. Golden State pulled its starters mid-third quarter down by 29. Game 6 in San Francisco tomorrow night. On playoff ice, the battle of Florida is over.
Bennett out of the box. Maybe a 2-on-1. Yes, it is. Bennett right circle, walks in, shot, and he scores! Fresh off serving the penalty. Sam Bennett takes the pass, bolts into the right circle, and the Panthers are up by a 4-3 score with 4:47 to go here in the second.
Doug Plagans on Panthers Radio. Florida with its third win of the series in Tampa, 6-3 last night to take the series in five. The Panthers trying to make their third straight Stanley Cup final. The Capitals also moving on after a 4-1 win over the Canadiens in their game five, and the Jets beat the Blues 5-3 for a 3-2 series lead. Apparently all of that action watched by Perloff last night.
Good job, Darren Mugey.
Yeah, I was telling Bogus, move over, I'll do the NHL updates after watching 11 minutes of the Capitals.
Yep. What's your main takeaway?
Oh, my God. This Ovechkin guy, you guys seen this dude play?
You ever heard of him?
I mean, it's like a rocket off his stick.
No one, he scored the most goals ever.
I know. It's amazing. No one saw it coming.
Oh, you guys have heard
but, I mean, talking about, it is funny. I hate to say this. Like, the contrast, LeBron going out last night and Ovechkin just still dominating. I think
okay,
hockey
but here's
is
the thing.
A sport.
Ovechkin hadn't been out of the first round of the playoffs since they won the cup.
Right, which was what year?
What did we say? 2018?
Yeah.
So you can't just parachute now and be like, Ovi aged better than LeBron. It's...
Well, hockey you can age because Jaromir Jagr is still playing somewhere in the world right now. Yeah. So you can, I think it's a sport because it's such short bursts, you can age a little bit more. Maybe not.
Yeah, more guys play at hockey to their 40 than NBA
players.
Yeah,
so sure. I think that helps Ovechkin. I mean, Ovechkin just sits out there and rifles it. As I said, Maggie, just move over. I'm the hockey correspondent today. Tomorrow,
Pearl off
that's
pucks.
All you.
All right, but
Pearl Pucks.
Now, Pearl Pucks, taking over for Manny Pucks.
But now I need Maggie for this. Shortly after defending his wide receiver room, Bills GM Brandon Bean reportedly signing a new pass catcher. So does WGR Radio get an apology before Wemby does? Buffalo reportedly bringing in Elijah Moore from Cleveland.
Yeah, let's not pretend like they just brought in peak Randy Moss, okay? Like, it's Elijah Moore on a one-year deal. He might not even make it to the opening weekend.
Go Bills.
But they didn't need receivers, and now they've got receivers.
Yeah, they got a guy who's been cut by how many teams?
Go Bills.
They got a guy that a weird, like, rarely used version of a tender that they had to pay him $5 million to clear what the Browns were going to give him.
What's that money? I was like, why is he getting $5 million?
I don't know, but this is not, we really plugged a hole here. No way.
I don't know. It just sounded like we shouldn't criticize or wonder where the pass catchers were, and then they signed a receiver the next day.
Everyone needs,
you shouldn't have been so angry.
Well, everyone needs to calm down.
I think he also was a little
sleep deprived.
A little high on himself for a guy who's never won a title.
Oh,
that's a shot. There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Seriously.
Well,
like,
I think,
relax.
I think you heard
what the Jets fan.
Well, you heard what he. Yeah, I know. You'd kill for Brandon Bean. But here's
I don't care. I don't know. My thing is, like, again, like, I'll say anything about the Jets, but he's the guy trying to win a title. That's what his job is.
Well, the one thing I did not like about it, I didn't mind him getting a little defensive about the receiver room because the offense was not the problem this year. But one thing I did not love hearing is I found Josh Allen. And, like, good, you should. You did find, you found him, okay, you traded up. You also passed on Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, it can't just be I'm going to dine out on finding Josh Allen forever here, because if you don't win with Josh Allen, it's not going to look good.
You guys are total idiots.
Does that make sense?
I hear you, but
you get credit for finding Josh Allen, but you're not going to, it's not going to be remembered well
still,
if you don't win with him.
There are worse flexes for an NFL GM. You know, I understand what you're saying, of course, but still, it's not a bad thing to fall back on.
No, he's got that.
Yeah.
And they've kept him, and they've kept him happy and all of it, but
it does feel like a cheap trump card, though, because to compare me drafting Josh Allen to I was right about our mid-receiver room is not the same.
Well, he did have, by the way, he had a good point because their offense was very good last year. So I think Brandon Bean kind of proved his point that you don't need receivers.
No,
they made the conference finals or the championship game with the number one receiver and without a number one receiver.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, like the fact that he's even saying neither one was right.
Right.
Like, clearly there's larger issues, I think, was his overall point.
Yeah, but the defense.
Right. But him suggesting that, oh, like, I was right. Like, no, you guys still lost.
You know what I was thinking about? Yes, definitely. I mean, to lose in the AFC Championship on the road to Kansas City.
By the way, if you get some first downs, you would have won that game.
No doubt. But here's what this is where I'll always go with this. And I think this is going to be the real test about Brandon Bean and how much power he has in the Bills organization. Sean McDermott has proven that he's a very good regular season coach. And then the playoffs happen, and he can't beat Andy Reid. So at some point, is the general manager going to end up having enough power that he could actually make a change here at head coach? And that's not happening so far, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen, and just we're in Sean McDermott's world and orbit forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pearl, it's like this in sports, you know. The Knicks fans are going through right now. Tom Thibodeau's a great regular season coach. In the playoffs, he gets out-coached. And Sean McDermott's gotten out-coached by Zach Taylor, by Andy Reid multiple times. I mean, if Mark Andrews catches a couple passes, he might be gotten out-coached by John Harbaugh.
Yeah, so. But I would say, counter-argument, they beat a much better Ravens team in the divisional round, talent-wise. Don't you think Sean McDermott on paper out coach John Harbaugh in that game, because the Bills had no right to win that game. The Ravens had Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that the Ravens were mounting this really big comeback in the second half, and Mark Andrews blew it for them. And I don't know what happens if they score there and he doesn't drop the ball in the end zone.
But I think they came in the better team. I don't think the Bills right now, you said it yourself, the Bills were supposed to be rebuilding last year. They were not supposed to be in the Super Bowl mix, and they got so close. Do you fire a coach who wins all these games and gets that close? Because
Clearly, it's rare.
Clearly it's rare. No. I mean, has a coach ever gotten this far? And you don't fire a guy after he gets to the AFC title game.
Right, I know, which is kind of frustrating because you understand that he's not a great playoff coach.
Well, I mean, he's probably better than Kyle Shanahan ways. I mean, like he's won a lot of playoff games.
And he's been the reason why they've blown him. So 888-710-4ISN. So that's a little Bills rant
for you. I think
it's
more the receiver room.
You don't even believe it.
All right. Elijah Moore is going to help it all. 888-710-4476. We're talking about the prank call scandal. How big of a deal do you think this is? Falcons got fined $250K. Defensive coordinator gets fined $100,000 because his son was the one who took the number. Was this a big deal to you or a little deal? 888-710-4ISN.
Rudy Gobert is dominating.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Maggie, I got to tell you, here's a major problem for LeBron James. Major problem. Probably the biggest problem.
That he just got ousted from the playoffs?
Nope.
What's that?
That there is no future in this Western Conference that involves LeBron James. It is going to... Ant-Man is 23. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 24. The Spurs are loading up. The Nuggets are still good. The Rockets are just learning how to play basketball. I mean, how is he going to put together a championship roster? This actually, believe it or not, might have been his best shot, and he didn't even have a chance this year.
Yeah, well, this roster was clearly, you know, for as amazing as it was to have Luka Doncic basically fall out of the sky, yeah, and you didn't even really lose major rotation players to have to give him, you know, to give him up. Anthony Davis obviously was the centerpiece, but you didn't have to give up Austin Reeves, and he was just terrible in the series, or especially last night. So you, but it's weird to say it was a very incomplete roster. Like,
yeah,
obviously.
But the problem is, I don't think there's any cavalry. Like, you need, you don't need one guy. You're going to need three guys. This Minnesota team that they just lost to is going to get significantly better next season.
I know, but you act like they don't also have firepower. Like, they have Luka Doncic, who's in that equation of all these young, up-and-coming guys. Like,
yeah,
this is what makes it, which makes them have a chance.
I'll tell you why. Because Luka's 26?
Yeah.
Because Luka's got an old man game. He's not progressing.
Well,
Luka peaked at 21. He's never changed. He's always, you know, Luka's already, I think, fully actualized as Luka. I just think that there are a lot of other players who are going to learn how to win at the highest level. I think the torch has been passed. I'm really thinking more about LeBron. I don't think Luka has a team around him yet that is going to get him to a title either.
But don't we kind of think about NBA players really hitting their prime kind of in their mid to late 20s?
Yeah, usually. But
it's
like,
not when you're 21.
Right, but can't you see other players improving more than Luka? It feels like Luka is what he is. I don't think he's going to get better and better.
Well, that's now on the Lakers, right? Yeah. Isn't that on J.J. Redick? Isn't that on, you know, like, what's the next part of his career going to look like? Because there was a lot of guys who didn't win until their late 20s. They had to figure it out. The reigning champion Boston Celtics are a great example of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about really a couple players. You're talking about SGA. You're talking about Anthony Edwards. You're talking about Victor Wembanyama. Like, those players, they have to figure it out. I don't put Luka in that conversation.
Well, that's just because you don't like his game right now. Jose is in California. What's up, Jose?
Hey, how you doing, Maggie?
Doing great.
All about the prank calls? Back in the day, we used to use *67 to block the number so they wouldn't get us.
I know, but then couldn't you use *69 to call back the number that just called you?
Nah, we just disconnect the phone.
Look at you, Jose. 3D
yeah,
chess.
But I was calling about JJ. When Rudy started going off, I can't believe how he didn't put Hayes in there.
I know. There's just that Hayes just lost complete confidence in Jackson Hayes throughout the series.
Yeah, even the camera kept pointing to him all the time, like, get him in there, get him in there.
JJ Redick, Jose, yeah, thank you for the phone call, is going to have to... This is going to be tough tape, I'm sure, to watch. Unless he thinks, hey, this is Rob Pelinka's fault, not my fault.
I don't think there was an answer. And that's the second caller who said Jackson Hayes would have won this game. I'm not so sure. I mean, I came into the series. Remember, I said there's no way Jackson Hayes can do the trick here. They don't have confidence in him, and I think Jackson Hayes knows that.
J.J. Redick playing the whole starting five the entire second half in game four is ridiculous. And even if he had sat Luka for like a minute, it still would have been ridiculous. And then the desperation to have Maxi Kleber, who hasn't played since January, on the floor last night in the fourth quarter was silly. Ed's in the Bay Area. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're great.
I just want to thank you. A couple of comments real quick just on the Lakers. I don't understand what Rob Pelinka or J.J. Redick was thinking. You get rid of Anthony Davis, you don't bring in another big man, you put your chances on Jackson, and you don't play him. You're getting out-rebounded. You have Gobert like a monster mash here last night with all 20, something plus rebounds. My personal gut feeling as a Laker fan that they just need to get rid of JJ because he clearly act like he didn't know what was going on in that series completely. But to piggyback on the prank call, I believe that Jeff Albright got a raw deal. His son compromised his iPad, got this number. I think that instead of finding him in the Falcons organization, I strongly believe that Jack, the son, should have been suspended from his university, lost a year of eligibility, and did not have an opportunity to use it as a waiver. So that's just my honest opinion.
Well, Ed, I mean, that's really dropping the hammer on the guy. And thank you for the phone call. Lose a year of eligibility over this?
Help me out. Where's Jack's play again?
He was a high school standout last year because he played actually at a high school that's about 20 minutes away from where I live.
If he doesn't play D2 or D3, it's either D2 or D3 football in like Georgia or something like that.
I thought it was like a D3 football school.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, we're not talking about a year of eligibility. Who cares, right?
Well, he's saying he should be suspended from the team, right? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, but D3 doesn't have like real rules like that. I mean, it's D3.
Now, Jeff Ulbrich did say yesterday that they're going to start doing a lot of community service. So that's... I don't know what type of community service is connected with prank phone calls and things like that, but
we're at a call center.
That's what I was.
Work at a call center.
Yeah, and like for like you know,
like
cancer,
a nonprofit
cancer research. Yeah. You know, some kind of like you know environmental cause, something like that,
or just for doxing.
I don't think he'll be doing that.
Is there a call center for guys who are falling in the draft and are?
Some kind of emergency helpline.
Yeah. It's called 1-800-GET-AN-AGENT.
I think it's Michael Irvin believes
it's called
it was
LinkedIn.
It's Michael Irvin. Hi. Thought it was
This is Will Levis. It's not going well tonight.
Hey, get your CDL, buddy.
Oh my god.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.